Since 2010, our family farm had taken our organic fruit and cider and donuts into the city of East Lansing. And for 7 years, we sold to people of all backgrounds without incident, without complaint. In fact, the city of East Lansing invited us back every year. They even said, we love the Country Mill. But that all changed in August of 2016 when we answered a question on social media asking about our beliefs on marriage. And as Catholics, we believe marriage is between a man and a woman. And that is what we choose to celebrate with our family here at our family farm, at our home where we live. And as soon as that happened, unfortunately, the city started pressuring us not to come back to the farmers market. And eventually, we had to ask the court to step in to allow us to continue to sell for the last 7 years now. So 7 years before this incident and now 7 years after, we continue to sell to people of all backgrounds without any issues or complaints.
That is Farmer Steve Tennis from the Central Michigan area of East Lansing, and he is talking about the decision that was just reached this week, saying that the city officials in that city of East Lansing violated his religious freedom when they barred his taking part in the event because of his Catholic views on marriage. Father Mitch Paco reacting to this, and Father, what I noticed, and that's actually part of an interview that he did along with the attorney from ADF Alliance Defending Freedom for Fox News Digital. You didn't sense any anger in his voice. He just explained the situation and said, we're trying to be faithful Catholics. We're glad to be back in the market. But imagine 7 years, Father, it took, because this happened in 2017. Good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Good to be with you. This is part of what I think is a madness to, for instance, push for, you know, anybody who's against gay marriage, remove them, isolate them, punish them. This is a madness on their part. That, you know, any idea that it began with that, well, different people have their right to their own view of marriage. And it's exactly what I've been saying for over 20 years at EWTN, that they can start off as relativists, and they try to use relativistic values to get you to say, well, this is okay. But once they get their position and their power, then you may not disagree with them. They become totalitarian in the way they insist, even to the point of trying to harm a farmer's business by not letting them bring their superb fruit and vegetables to market. That is a lesson to learn, not only for this farmer, and this is why it has to be brought to court. This is a lesson that is across the country. You do the same thing with gender reassignment, name it. Mm-hmm. And what you see is, you may not disagree. It's a relativistic position until we win, and then totalitarian thought control has to be exercised against anybody who disagrees. That is not only in the marketplace, it's in the university, and, of course, in government.
Well, Father, this is, I think I said 7 years. It's actually six. Sorry, math is not my my best gift or gift at all.
I was not going to say a word.
Yeah, so it was about 6 years, and actually a little bit longer if you think about what started, I think, right before that. But anyway, so six-plus years that they've been fighting this. It seems to me, though, so ridiculous that you have to go through and jump through so many legal hoops. And the persecution that he took, and also if you does some research, and I'm going to be talking about this tomorrow in my Fact Check Friday segment, if you look at the way secular media outlets versus Catholic, other Christian, and some conservative outlets covered this, and the headlines, just look at the headlines. Google this story and look at the headlines. Call him anti-gay, anti-gay marriage. So he's a bad guy, but he won a case in court. That's how he's being presented.
Oh, again, they have to do this. This is part of the thought control that has to be exercised when something that is as unsuccessful as gay marriage. I mean, when you look at the statistics, you know, yeah, you see two problems. Even with the permission for gay marriage, three points. One, that's not enough. That it's permitted. It has to be embraced by everybody, or else. That was the case of the tennis farm. Secondly, this is something that does not help marital fidelity among gay men in particular. Among gay women, they tend to be more faithful to each other than men are. But the average length of a monogamous relationship among gay men is 2.5 years, and 5 years is usually the limit. They may stay together for 20, 25 years, but not as a monogamous couple. They'll have an agreement, and that's not marriage. You know, to say that you can be unfaithful is okay. That's not a marital relationship. So that's problematic. And then the third element is that it still does not change the fact that the life expectancy is not improved. I'm afraid to say that, you know, it requires, a kind of, sexual, purity to be able to stay away from diseases. If you are married and faithful to your spouse, you have nothing to worry about. But the promiscuity that is endemic, more so again among gay men than among gay women, the gay marriage issue doesn't help that. It doesn't help their life expectancy. This is not something that you can say, okay, it's such a great success, we should do everything to support it. That's not happening. And the other element, and this is basic and core to the Constitution, the first freedom that is given to us in the Bill of Rights is freedom of religion. Freedom of religion comes ahead of freedom of speech, freedom of assembly, or freedom of speech, because you have to have the right to form your conscience and have your thought and your will fashioned the way you want before you can speak. Your freedom of speech depends on freedom of thought and freedom of will. And that's what the freedom of religion is about. And the Constitution does not require anybody to belong to religion. In fact, Congress may not establish a religion. The states can, or at least they used to be able to until the 14th Amendment was applied against them. But the Congress cannot establish a religion. I don't want Congress to establish a religion. I don't want them to approve of any of Catholicism. I don't want them to establish Catholicism as a religion. They can't even hardly run the post office.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want them involved in the religion. We do enough messing up of religion on our own without their help. Mm-hmm. So, but we do want freedom of religion and the freedom to make our mistakes, learn from our mistakes, and work, as we all do in our spiritual life, to be ever more faithful to Jesus Christ and his church, and the truths of it. That's the freedom that we want, and that's what the Constitution guarantees. And you see that in the name of ideology, various governments at various levels, including at the federal level, want to impinge on. Again, as we talked a few weeks ago, going after Catholics who want Mass, Latin in the Mass.
Right. More with Father Mitch Pacwa. We'll talk more about this case out of Michigan, a victory for a Michigan farmer, but what he had to go through to get to this point. And this is where we are in our culture today. But thanks be to God, there are people like him and wonderful law organizations such as Alliance Defending Freedom and others who are willing to stand up for our constitutional rights. We'll be right back. Thanks so much for tuning in to EWTN. Really enjoy having Father Mitch Pacwa on. He's a scripture scholar. He's an amazing priest and teacher on EWTN radio and TV every single week. You see him so many times. And last night on his program, his live program, he did have an attorney from ADF, John Birch, who's written a new book about transgender ideology. I had him on my show, too. That's a great book. But, Father, getting back to this particular case with the Michigan farmer, think about what this family had to go through. First of all, making that decision to say we're going to take this to court, and then 6+ years, and now 2017 has happened. Now it's 2023. And in addition to probably just wondering what was going to happen, he was greatly persecuted where people were not buying from him anymore, in addition to being kicked out of the market where he was very much welcomed. His products were loved. He did get a lot of support from, he said in the interview we played for you, it's a little bit longer, we played that clip, where he talked about so many people who weren't even coming at this from a religious basis did support him and said, this is ridiculous, this is just over the top, and we're sorry you're being treated this way. But it really has to take a strong person to be willing to go through something like this in order to stand. And this is what the other side is counting on. Oh, it's too much. It's too draining. He's not going to want to do this. He's going to cave, and then we can get other people to cave.
Yep. And here's something that, again, they depend on us being this way. They, you know, that we would give up and say, okay, it's not worth it for me, et cetera. And in our relativistic society, it's one of the points that John Birch said on my show about relativism, is that you have people becoming relativistic because, A, they don't want to have to judge their neighbor, so they just will go along with, well, this is your view and I've got my view and we'll just do our thing. That's one point of view. And then the second issue is they oftentimes do not know how to argue through the issue. They don't have the data and they don't have some of the philosophical tools to help them argue the point, so they say, well, I'll just leave it be. I don't need to argue about this. This becomes highly problematic because in a democracy, you depend on people being able to make a good point about, about what is their value. And in this case, we have so many people who are not able to, to argue through issues, and then this bullying, because this is bullying, to say you can't do business in our town, and I think one of the points the article had made, he didn't live in the town where East Lansing, that's not his district, and they're trying to legislate for him in his district. For him, who doesn't live in their town, but they still insist that he be the one to follow their rules. Now, that's unacceptable. And the difficulty that, and as a matter of fact, as I was thinking about this story this morning after I finished my office, this is a worry about a very small percentage of, I think it's, there are about 6% of homosexuals who were interested in getting married. Mm-hmm. And they're a small percentage of the population. So there's a lot of rigmarole for all this. Meanwhile, the majority of adults are not married, and about half of the children born in the country are born to unmarried people. And partly it's because of state intervention in marriage. What are they doing to preserve marriage so that children can be cared for by their mother and father?
Mm-hmm.
What are they doing about helping the elderly? So many elderly do not get married, you know, a second time. They're widows and widowers. Why don't they remarry? Because they will lose their Social Security if they marry. And it's like, what? You are using government policy to discourage marriage between the elderly and affecting their health and well-being by punishing them with reducing the Social Security they had worked a lot of years to get. And you're worried about this tiny percentage, and are willing to punish businesses the way you are punishing the elderly who want to be married. This is a pretty big issue in my book. What are you doing to support marriage between men and women? And it seems as if they don't care in the government. They are choosing sides about which marriages they want to work and which ones they don't care about.
And also, they don't help young families, as you mentioned earlier. What about women who are in a situation where they're pressured to abort, whether they're married or single? And where is the, and you have, for example, in the state of Pennsylvania, I just had the director, the CEO of Real Alternatives on, where the governor in Pennsylvania just ended their contract. Nope, I'm done. Meanwhile, this is an organization that helps people in so many situations, people in marriages, people in crisis situations, and they just cut them off at the knees. And yet you have to have a certain way of thinking. You cannot deviate any way from what we are telling you is acceptable, regardless of the impact it has on the culture and society.
And again and again, government policy is not helping support the most important institution in a society,
right,
namely the family. And secondly, they are being dictatorial and totalitarian in their thought. You dare not disagree in the name of their relativism, where everybody has their own opinion and such. They don't tolerate it. This is something, as U.S. citizens, all of us need to pay very, very close attention to.
Thank God that there are people like this family and wonderful groups like ADF that are out there to point this out, Father. So that's what we have to really support them and say thank you, because getting this out there in the news and letting people know will give other people courage, hopefully, to do the same. Father, thank you. Thank you so, so much. And are you looking forward to the family celebration this weekend?
I am. That's right here in Sweet Home, Alabama.
Yep.
Here in Birmingham, that we are going to have a family celebration where folks are coming. Already they came. We had a big group from Canada last night.
Great.
Nice people. And it'll be great to have even more folks show up for the family celebration right here at EWTN.
So I imagine, and I've been encouraging a lot of folks to visit afterward, maybe after Saturday, to stay for a few days and go for a tour. Maybe they can sit in another one of your shows. Father, have a great weekend. Have fun at the family celebration. And all the information will be on EWTN.com. We talk with the Cardinal Newman Society up next. Stay tuned.